KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, it's mostly clear and 34 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 46. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Two people were critically injured early this morning during a single vehicle accident on Interstate 80 just northeast of Council Bluffs. According to a report in the Omaha World-Herald's online edition, the accident happened just a little after 3 a.m. near the 13-mile marker on I-80 northeast of Council Bluffs. The injured, whose names have not yet been released, were taken in critical condition to Mercy Hospital in the Bluffs. News time is 8:03.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a two-vehicle near-head-on collision in Harrison County injured a Storm Lake man Monday morning in Woodbine. 24-year-old Bakash Pandey was traveling southbound on Highway 30 in a Toyota Camry when he crossed the center line and struck 23-year-old Jeremy Jacobson, who was driving a 2005 Chevy pickup. Pandey was thrown to the Creighton University Hospital, suffering from serious injuries, including numerous broken bones. According to the Harrison County Sheriff's Office, the jaws of life had to be used to extricate Pandey from his vehicle. Jacobson was transported to Legion Health Mercy Hospital in Missouri Valley by Woodbine Rescue. He was later treated and released. The Harrison County Sheriff's Office said that Pandey had remained hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. That accident involving those two vehicles happened just before 7 a.m. Monday on the north side of Woodbine on Highway 30. A ban on open burning, which had been in place in Cass County since October the 7th, was lifted Tuesday afternoon. The ban was issued due to dry and windy conditions and the danger of seemingly controlled open burning getting out of control. Recent rains and a light dusting of snow last week has helped to lessen the fire danger. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon announced that at the request of area fire departments, the burn ban was lifted at 3 p.m. Tuesday. A judicial nominating commission has named three nominees to the Iowa Court of Appeals. The commission selected the nominees Tuesday from a pool of 18 applicants who were interviewed earlier in the day. Among them is District Associate Judge Susan Christensen of Harlan. Governor Terry Branstad has 30 days to make his selection. A vacancy on the court is being created by the retirement of Chief Judge Rosemary Sackett in January. An Omaha, Nebraska woman has been sentenced to 80 months in federal prison for her role in an Iowa-based conspiracy to make methamphetamine. The U.S. Attorney's Office said 35-year-old Jennifer Biggerstaff was sentenced November the 4th in U.S. District Court. She pleaded guilty in August to conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamine. Prosecutors said Biggerstaff participated in a scheme in which 5.5 pounds of meth was made at a farm in rural Mills County between February of 2003 and May of 2011. They say Biggerstaff and others involved in the conspiracy bought pseudoephedrine from stores in Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri, with the popular decongestant being used to make methamphetamine. Others stole anhydrous ammonia in southwest Iowa. Three others have already been sentenced in connection with the case. Three others await sentencing. A former fire chief in western Iowa is accused of misspending tens of thousands of dollars in city and county money, according to a state audit. Mike McKinnon resigned as the Denison fire chief in early 2010. Shortly after leaving office, city officials requested a special investigation by the state of purchases and other transactions made by McKinnon. State Auditor David Bout reviewed the records dating from July of 2005 through March of 2010.
What we found is about $96,000 of improper and unsupported disbursements from the Denison Fire Department. $73,000 of that was city monies, and another $23,000 was from the Crawford County EMS Association.
The report shows nearly $40,000 was improperly paid to businesses owned by McKinnon. Bout said McKinnon also made thousands of dollars worth of personal purchases with the city's credit card. Some of the purchases included electronics, clothing, a boat motor, parts, and a riding mower. Many of the payments to McKinnon's businesses were supported by invoices, which included addresses consisting of post office boxes in Des Moines and West Des Moines. But Vaught said the post office boxes did actually not exist, and McKinnon was hired as the Denison Fire Chief in January of 1999. The auditor's report has been filed with the Crawford County Attorney's Office, the Iowa Attorney General's Office, and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. Authorities say they're investigating after finding a retired Chicago detective out dead outside of his rural Iowa home one day after his daughter was convicted of first-degree murder. Law enforcement officials found Bernard Richter dead on Tuesday on his property in Rembrandt in northwest Iowa. An Iowa jury on Monday convicted his daughter, Tracy Richter, in the December 2001 shooting of 20-year-old Dustin Weedy. Buena Vista County death investigator Matt Emming said that the sheriff's department checked on Bernard Richter after his family hadn't heard from him since Sunday. He says the state medical examiner's office will conduct an autopsy today. Emming says the 69-year-old Richter was found between his truck and his home, and he said there's no indication of foul play, but the investigation continues. The City of Atlantic's Airport Commission is slated to meet at 9 o'clock today in the airport terminal building, and some new business on their agenda includes the review of a letter from the FAA with regard to the parallel taxiway project and the continuation of an engineering agreement with Snyder & Associates for the project's documents, bidding, and construction services. Also, the Board of Supervisors in Adair County will hold a public hearing today with regard to a road closure at N9 and N8 in Union Township. That meeting takes place at 9:30, with the regular meeting set to get underway at 9 o'clock. And there were some surprises, some expected results, and some delays in Tuesday's general election here in the listing area. In Atlantic, a glitch at the auditor's office caused a delay in getting the results of the Cass County District 2 Board of Supervisors race out to the media. And when they finally came in at 10:25 p.m., they indicated Gaylord Schelling had won the election with 170 votes. Don Lappy came in second with 150. Three other candidates each had under 100 votes. The results of all of the elections can be found on our webpage along with a summary for a very interest on KJAN.com. Just click on the news tab and scroll on down. You'll find the detailed list of the results and, again, that summary that's available for you to kind of review. In our world headlines of this hour, stock futures are sharply lower amid growing concerns that Italy's debts are unsustainable. Italian bond yields spiked above 7% yesterday, a sign that investors are losing faith in the country's ability to repay its debt. Analysts say Italy will not be able to refinance its debt at current rates, making it more likely to require international assistance. The head of FEMA says some potential bugs are being worked out ahead of the first ever nationwide test of the nation's emergency alert system this afternoon. FEMA Chief Craig Fugate warns some video systems may make it look like a real emergency. Voters have said no on key ballot initiatives in Ohio, Maine, and Mississippi. Ohio voters soundly rejected a new law restricting the collective bargaining abilities of public employee unions. Maine voters repealed a Republican-backed law that would have eliminated Election Day enrollment. And Mississippi voters said no to a measure that would have declared a life begins at fertilization. And finally in the news, an unusual Bering Sea storm packing hurricane-forced winds and giant waves is taking aim at western Alaska. The National Weather Service in Fairbanks said the front of the storm reached Nome with 60-mile-an-hour winds, blowing snow, and visibility of just one-quarter mile. News time is 8:11.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Howard Schneider, age 85, of Elkhorn, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Howard Schneider will be today at 1 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 94-year-old Helen Johnson Allen of Stewart died Monday at the Cavanaugh House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Helen Allen will be held on Thursday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Panora United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Joyce Elaine Miller, age 59, of Persia, died Saturday at her home. Funeral services for Joyce Miller will be this coming Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Persia. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Mildred Schwab, age 91, of Exira and formerly of Brayton, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Mildred Schwab will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Kathy Coleman, age 64, of Manning, died Monday at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Kathy Coleman will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Thomas Tom Earl Schumacher, age 61, of Avoca, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Thomas Schumacher will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Walter Peterson, Jr., age 86, of Audubon, died Monday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Walter Peterson, Jr. will be held Thursday at 1:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Al Wernemont, age 57, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Funeral services for Al Wernemont will be Friday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church at Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. 69-year-old Roger Wright of Lewis died Monday. Funeral services for Roger Wright will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. 92-year-old Jane Miller of Atlantic and formerly of Anita died Sunday. Memorial services for Jane Miller will be this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Ralph Chiz Jones, age 94, of Audubon, died October 17th in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Chiz Jones will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Audubon High School Auditorium. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Dr. John Hennessy, age 93, of Manila, died Tuesday in Denison. Services for Dr. John Hennessy are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. And 85-year-old Elmer Stenstrom of Coon Rapids died Tuesday. Services for Elmer Stenstrom are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.